Chapter 7. The album The Mediterranean Heath. Traveling some little time back in a wild part of Connemara, where I had been for fishing and seal shooting, I had the good luck to get admission to the chateau of a hospitable Irish gentleman, and to procure some news of my once dear Attilia. Yes, of no other than Attilia V. Schlippenschlipp, the muse of Kalbsbrett and Pumpernickel, the friendly little town far away in Sachsenland, where old Speck built the town pump, where Klingenspur was slashed across the nose, where Dorothea rolled over and over in that horrible waltz with Fitzbusaw. Away with the recollection. But wasn't it strange to get news of Attilia in the wildest corner of Ireland, where I never should have thought to hear her gentle name? Walking on that very Risbig mountain under whose shadow I heard Attilia's name, McKay, the learned author of the Loripodlandica, discovered the Mediterranean heath, such a flower as I have often plucked on the sides of Vesuvius, and as Proserpine, no doubt, amused herself in gathering as she strayed in the fields of Enna. Here it is the self-same flower, peering out at the Atlantic from Roundstone Bay. Here too, in this wild lonely place, nestles the fragrant memory of my Attilia. In a word, after a day on Ballylinch Lake where, with a brown fly and a single hare, I killed 14 salmon, the smallest 29 pounds weight, the largest somewhere about 5'10", my young friend Blake Bodkin Lynch Brown, a fine lad who has made his continental tour, and I adjourned, after dinner, to the young gentleman's private room, for the purpose of smoking a certain cigar, which is never more pleasant than after a hard day's sport, or a day spent indoors, or after a good dinner, or a bad one, or at night when you are tired, or in the morning when you are fresh, or of a cold winter's day, or of a scorching summer's afternoon, or at any other moment you choose to fix upon. What should I see in Blake's room, but a rack of pipes, such as are to be found in almost all the bachelor's rooms in Germany, and amongst them was a porcelain pipe head bearing the image of the Kalbsbrett pump. There it was. The old spout, the old familiar allegory of Mars, Bacchus, Apollo Virum, and the rest, that I had so often looked at from Hepharchitect Speck's window, as I sat there, by the side of Dorothea. The old gentleman had given me one of these very pipes, for he had hundreds of them painted, wherewith he used to gratify almost every stranger who came into his native town. Any old place with which I have once been familiar, as, perhaps, I have before stated in these confessions, but never mind, that is in some sort dear to me. And were I Lord Shooting Castle or Colonel Pobland, I think after a residence of 6 months there I should love the Fleet Prison. As I saw the old familiar pipe, I took it down, and crammed it with Cavendish tobacco, and lay down on the sofa, and puffed away for an hour well-nigh, thinking of old, old times. "You're very entertaining tonight, Fitz," says young Blake, who had made several tumblers of punch for me, which I had gulped down without saying a word. "Aren't ye think ye'd be more easy in bed than snorting and sighing there on my sofa, and groaning fit to make me go hang myself?" "I am thinking, Blake," says I, "about Pumpernickel, where old Speck gave you this pipe." "'Deed he did," replies the young man. "And did ye know the old bairn?" "I did," said one. "Why, friend, I have been by the banks of the Bendemeer. Tell me, are the nightingales still singing there, and do the roses still bloom?" "The H-W-H-A-T?" cries Blake. "Hat the divil, Fitz, are you growling about? Bendemeer Lake's in Westmoreland, as I presume. And as for roses and nightingales, I give ye my word it's Greek you're talking to me." And Greek it very possibly was, for my young friend, though as good a cross-country as any man in his county, has not the fine feeling and tender perception of beauty which may be found elsewhere, dear madam. "Tell me about Speck, Blake, and Kalbsbrett, and Dorothea, and Klingenspur her husband." "He with the cut across the nose, is it?" cries Blake. "Know him well, and his old wife." "His old what, sir?" cries Fitzboodle, jumping up from his seat. "Klingenspur's wife old, is he married again? Is the Rossiya then, Didi dead? Dead. No more dead than you are, only I take her to be 35. And when a woman has had 9 children, you know, she looks none the younger. And I can tell ye that, when she trod on my corons at a ball at the Grand Duke's, I felt something heavier than a feather on my foot. Madame de Klingenspur then, replied I, hesitating somewhat, has grown rather st out. I could hardly get out the out, and trembled I don't know why as I asked the question. Stout, begged, she weighs 14 stone, saddle, and bridle. That's right, down goes my pipe. Flop. Crash falls the tumbler into the fender. Break away, my boy, and remember, whoever breaks a glass here pays a dozen. The fact was, that the announcement of Dorothea's changed condition caused no small disturbance within me, and I expressed it in the abrupt manner mentioned by young Blake. Roused thus from my reverie, I questioned the young fellow about his residence at Kelpsbritton, which has been always since the war a favorite place for our young gentry, and heard with some satisfaction that Peasdorf was married to the Berenstein, Hobart had left the Dragoons, the Crown Prince had broken with the Butmum. Of what interest are all these details to the reader, who has never been at friendly little Kelpsbritton? Presently Lynch reaches me down one of the 3 books that formed his library, the Acing Calendar, and a book of fishing flies making up the remainder of the set. Andy, there's my album, says he. You'll find plenty of hands in it that you'll recognize, as you are an old pumpernickeliner. And so I did, in truth. It was a little book after the fashion of German albums, in which good simple little ledger every friend or acquaintance of the owner inscribes a poem or stanza from some favorite poet or philosopher with the transcriber's own name, as thus. To the true house friend, and beloved Irelandish youth. Sira nunquam est ad bonos mors via. ... Wackerbert. Professor at the Grand Ducal Kalbsbritton Pumpernickelish Gymnasium. Another writes, wander on roses, and forget me not. ... Amelia V. Natchmitz, Jeb. V. Shalafrock. With a flourish, and the picture mayhap of a rose. Let the reader imagine some hundreds of these interesting inscriptions, and he will have an idea of the book. Turning over the leaves, I came presently on Dorothea's hand. There it was, the little neat, pretty handwriting, the dear old up and down strokes, that I had not looked at for many a long year, the Mediterranean heath, which grew on the sunniest banks of Fitzboodle's existence, and here found, dear, dear little sprig, in rude Galwegian boglands. Look at the other side of the page, says Lynch, rather sarcastically, for I don't care to confess that I kissed the name of Arathia V. Klingenspur, born V. Speck, written under an extremely feeble passage of verse. Look at the other side of the paper. I did, and what do you think I saw? I saw the writing of 5 of the little Klingenspurs, who have all sprung up since my time. ... Ha, ha. Ha! Screamed the impertinent young Irishman, and the story was all over Connemara and Joyce's country in a day after. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.